Hello, and thank you for listening to this overview of Navient's FFELP Student Loan Repayment Data Package, published on October 8, 2015. This presentation contains forward-looking statements. Please review the information concerning forward-looking statements found on page 2. Page 3 shows the list of topics we will discuss. As the largest issuer of student loan-backed securities, we take our leadership role seriously. We have created this data package to help investors and other market participants better understand the performance of our FFELP loan assets and recent improving performance trends in deferment, forbearance, defaults, and prepayments, and recent performance trends relating to income-driven repayment plans. We will open with a look at historical vintage pool factors. Next, we will examine trends concerning the usage of deferment and forbearance. After that, we will take a look at the characteristics and performance of loans in income-driven repayment and the associated loan forgiveness programs. Finally, we will examine the recent trends in consolidation and other prepayments, and we will bring together all the status and repayment program information to examine the program limits on FFELP loans' overall ability to extend. Before we begin, on page 4, we bring your attention to the methodology based on which the data are presented. Unless otherwise noted, the data reflect Navient-serviced FFELP loans that are owned by Navient or by a securitization trust. The data are presented as of June 30, 2015. The data do not include Navient-owned FFELP loans that are serviced by third parties, even where Navient acts as the master servicer with respect to such FFELP loan in connection with a securitization transaction. These loans were originated prior to the end of the FFELP program on June 30, 2010, and most were originated prior to June 2008. Since July 1, 2010, all federal student loans are being made directly by the Department of Education and serviced by companies including Navient. Loans serviced under the Department of Education contract are not included in these data. Vintage-based amortization analysis is limited to loans that were present in the portfolio for their full repayment lives and exclude loans that were acquired by Navient after initially entering repayment. Each securitization trust is backed by a discrete pool of FFELP loans. The data set forth in this presentation may not necessarily be reflective of the performance of the FFELP loans owned by a particular securitization trust. The description of loan statuses and payment programs under the FFELP refer to the Common Manual. First published in December 1995, the Common Manual is a cooperative effort of the nation's guarantors that currently participate in the FFELP. The manual is a resource created and maintained by guarantors to simplify and streamline the federal rules and regulations for the FFELP program and provides a single standardized policy guidance for schools and lenders. Before we turn to the consideration of individual repayment plans, it is helpful to review the performance of the portfolio in aggregate by repayment vintage. The data begins on page 6. We use repayment vintage as the basic unit of analysis because the life cycle of student loans tends to vary as the loan season in repayment. In early repayment, loan performance is driven by borrowers' transition from attending school to securing employment. We see varying usage of different loan statuses, like deferment, forbearance, and repayment, and of repayment plans, like income-driven repayment, as loans move through the repayment life cycle. As loans season in repayment, loan performance becomes more stable and predictable. On page 6, we look at the pool factor and its composition by status for the 2001 vintage. The pool factor is defined as the aggregate remaining outstanding principal balance of the loans in a repayment vintage as a percentage of the aggregate principal balance of the loans in the vintage at the beginning of repayment. Here, we have sampled the 2001 vintage. This vintage had robust originations volume for both Stafford and consolidation loans and shows a significant number of years of performance history. The 2001 Stafford loan vintage has paid down to a pool factor of less than 1%. While the deferment and forbearance statuses continue to be represented among the loans remaining in the vintage as it seasons, the volume of loans in deferment and forbearance declines along with the overall pool. Ultimately, while the percentage of loans in deferment and forbearance as a proportion of the remaining pool balance may remain above zero, the absolute balance of loans in deferment and forbearance becomes very small in deeply seasoned vintages. The lower chart shows that while the total repayment terms for consolidation loans are longer than those for Stafford loans on average, the 2001 vintage also amortized more quickly than the originally scheduled amortization to date. And similar to the trend we see in the Stafford loan 2001 vintage, the deferment and forbearance statuses also decline along with the portfolio. On page 7, we explore the overall trends in pool factor reduction across vintages. In the Stafford loan portfolio, older vintages showed faster reduction in pool factors than newer vintages. This occurred because of higher prepayment and consolidation activity in the mid-2000s, which impacted vintages that entered repayment prior to that time. Newer vintages have been paying more slowly, although the rate of decline in the pool factors has increased since the end of the Great Recession. Among consolidation loan vintages, the trends in pool factor have been more similar among the vintages. Although the newer vintages are paying somewhat more slowly, pool balances continue to reduce over time. Page 8 gives portfolio context to the vintage performance, showing the initial and remaining principal balances for each of the Stafford and consolidation loan vintages shown throughout the presentation. The size and remaining pool factors of each of the vintages may help provide useful context for the vintage trends shown throughout the presentation. Stafford loan repayment vintages prior to 2006 have remaining pool factors of less than 10% of the balance at the start of repayment. If all the loans in each vintage had been pooled into discrete securitization trusts by vintage, those trusts would be eligible for redemption under the 10% optional servicer cleanup call. As a reminder, each of our actual securitization trusts contains loans from multiple underlying repayment vintages. Turning from the overall portfolio composition, on page 10 we look at the policy for deferment usage. Deferment is a tool available to borrowers to help them meet their loan repayment obligations. Once the repayment period has begun, the borrower is entitled to defer payments on a FFELP loan when applicable eligibility criteria are met. Deferments are entitlements. Generally, if a borrower demonstrates eligibility for a deferment and provides the servicer with the necessary documentation required to establish eligibility, the borrower may not be denied the deferment. Qualifying conditions include cases when the borrower is enrolled in school at least half-time, enrolled in an approved graduate fellowship program or rehabilitation program, seeking but unable to find full-time employment, economic hardship, active or post-active duty military service. The time limits for deferments depend upon the deferment type. There is no time limit for school or military service deferments. Public service, unemployment, and economic hardship deferments are limited to 3 years of cumulative usage. Page 11 describes forbearance. Forbearance is a tool servicers can use to assist borrowers in meeting their loan repayment obligations. By granting forbearance, a servicer permits a temporary cessation of payments, allows an extension of time for making payments, or temporarily accepts smaller payments than were previously scheduled. Servicers are encouraged to grant a forbearance to prevent the borrower from defaulting on the repayment obligation or to permit the borrower to resume honoring the loan obligation after default. Today, forbearance is most often given when deferment and income-driven or IDR plans are not available to the borrower, where hardship is considered to be temporary, or when IDR payments still pose a financial hardship. There are four types of forbearance available to borrowers. Administrative forbearance is granted for payments of principal and interest that are overdue or would be due in circumstances including but not limited to a bankruptcy filing, closed school or false certification, identity theft, or to cover periods of delinquency before or after an authorized deferment or forbearance. Discretionary forbearance is given where the obligor intends to repay the loans but cannot make payments in the short term for economic hardship, health, or other acceptable reasons. As the name suggests, this type of forbearance is given at the discretion of the servicer. The servicer must grant a mandatory administrative forbearance in cases such as in a national emergency, for military mobilization, or for borrowers in a designated disaster area. Mandatory administrative forbearance does not require a request from the borrower. Upon receiving a borrower's request and documentation required to support the borrower's eligibility, a lender must grant a mandatory forbearance in situations including but not limited to medical or dental internship or residency, active military state duty as a member of the National Guard, or the Department of Defense Student Loan Repayment Program. The servicer must grant a mandatory forbearance upon the borrower's request. Like for deferments, the time limit for forbearance depends on the forbearance type. There is no time limit for discretionary and most mandatory forbearance. Most types of administrative forbearance vary between 60 and 120 days in duration. Some, like internship and residency forbearance, extend over the duration of the eligible condition. We look specifically at the usage of deferment among Stafford loans on page 12. The deferment usage shown on this page and the next include both economic hardship and school-related deferments. On the left-hand chart, we track deferment usage by vintage based on loan seasoning, that is, the time since the loans entered repayment. This enables us to see trends that are driven primarily by the life cycle of the borrower. For example, whether we are seeing early repayment borrowers defer payment as they seek employment, or whether we are seeing intermittent unemployment events for borrowers who are deeper into repayment. On the right-hand chart, we track deferment usage by vintage based on the calendar date such deferment is observed. This enables us to see trends that are driven by economic events or other events specific to a particular date and time. With respect to Stafford loan deferments, the right-hand chart shows a significant degree of economic responsiveness, with most vintages showing elevated deferment usage during the Great Recession. As has been previously reported, we saw increases in borrowers returning to school during the recession. Deferment usage has since declined across vintages. We also see elevated deferment usage in early repayment for most vintages, particularly for the 2005 and 2006 vintages. These two Stafford loan vintages show high deferment levels in early repayment because Stafford borrowers were allowed to consolidate while still in school during this time period. In order to process the consolidation, the Stafford loans would leave school in grace status and would be placed into a school deferment until the consolidation was processed. On the consolidation loan side, deferment trends, as shown on page 13, are generally similar. We talked a moment ago about the Stafford loans that refinanced into consolidation loans while they were in school in 2005 and 2006. These same loans also had their resulting consolidation loans placed in school deferment until they graduated, which is why we also see high deferment usage in the 2005 and 2006 consolidation vintages. Effectively, borrowers consolidating during school drove higher school deferment usage on both sides of the refinancing event. Consolidation vintages other than 2005 and 2006 also show higher usage of deferment in early repayment, suggesting there is a strong relationship between consolidation loan seasoning and the use of deferment. As with Stafford loans, consolidation deferment usage has decreased since 2010. Stafford loan forbearance trends are shown on page 14. These trends show all discretionary, mandatory, administrative, and mandatory administrative forbearance statuses at the end of each month. As a reminder, forbearance provides short-term relief to borrowers who cannot make their payments due to a temporary hardship, including some borrowers in the reduced payment phase of income-driven repayment plans. As shown by the left-hand seasoning-based chart, Stafford loan forbearance is higher in early repayment periods across repayment vintages. As shown by the right-hand date-based chart, Stafford loan forbearance also increased during the Great Recession. However, this additional forbearance usage was not as high as the levels experienced across vintages in the early stages of repayment. Looking at the right-hand chart, there is also an increase in forbearance across all vintages in the first quarter of 2014. Servicers are permitted to grant short-term administrative forbearance, called FORM, while borrowers apply and submit documentation to change repayment plans. Beginning in 2014, Navient began to utilize this type of forbearance increasingly to assist borrowers who need extra time to enroll in IDR or deferment. The trends in consolidation loan forbearance usage, shown on page 15, are very similar to those in the Stafford loan portfolio. As a reminder, the usage shown on this page reflects all four types of forbearance described on page 11. Consolidation loan forbearance is also higher in earlier repayment periods. Consolidation loan forbearance, like Stafford loan forbearance, increased during the Great Recession and was also impacted by the increase in the use of form status for borrowers changing repayment plans. Page 16 shows the trends in forbearance usage when normalized for the change in Navient's use of the form status. The left-hand chart shows the trends in the Stafford and consolidation loan averages, with and without form status included in the numerator based on loan seasoning. And the right-hand chart shows the same trends by calendar date. The green and purple dotted lines show the averages across vintages from page 14 and 15 on Stafford and consolidation loan forbearance, respectively. The green and purple solid lines show the performance without form status included historically. The impact of form is most clearly seen on the right-hand chart. Excluding the usage of form, forbearance has been declining. A minor item of note is that when considering the consolidation loan performance by seasoning, forbearance usage appears to increase in later seasoning periods. This happens because the individual vintages underlying the average perform differently from one another. Several newer vintages with lower forbearance usage fall out of the average around month 162, with the result that the average increases when they are no longer represented. Considered independently, each individual underlying vintage shows declining forbearance over time. Page 17 shows the distribution of cumulative months of deferment used by repayment vintage for the loans that are still outstanding in the vintage. There may be loans that have previously paid in full that used different amount of deferment before they paid and ceased to be part of the remaining pool balance. The deferment months counter includes both hardship and school deferment periods. The dark purple bar at the bottom of each chart shows the proportion of loans in the vintage that have never used a deferment. For example, 25% of the remaining loans in the 1996 Stafford loan vintage have never used deferment. The light purple bar at the top of each chart shows the proportion of loans in the vintage that have used more than 60 months of deferment. For example, 40% of the remaining loans in the 1996 Stafford loan vintage have used more than 60 months of deferment. In general, in the Stafford loan portfolio, less seasoned loans have used less deferment. In general, consolidation loans are less likely to have used deferment than Stafford loans, and their usage is more stable across vintages. In addition, with the introduction of income-based repayment in 2009, borrowers in newer vintages may have repayment options other than hardship deferment and forbearance. Page 18 uses the same format to show cumulative forbearance usage by vintage. The forbearance months counter only includes discretionary forbearance periods given for economic hardship. It does not include periods in administrative, mandatory, or mandatory administrative forbearance. Similar to deferment, the older the vintage, the more cumulative forbearance the remaining loans in the vintages have used to date. Also similar to deferment, consolidation loans are less likely to have used forbearance, and forbearance usage is similar across the remaining loans in the vintages. Again, now that income-based repayment is available to help borrowers lower their payments, borrowers in newer vintages may have repayment options other than economic hardship, deferment, and forbearance. As we see on page 18, there are some loans that have used more than 60 months of cumulative hardship forbearance. Navient's servicer policy limits cumulative forbearance usage to 60 months. Page 19 further characterizes and explains the usage that we see above the servicer policy limit. The average forbearance in Navient's portfolio today is given for 3 months. However, FFELP rules permit forbearance to be given in variable increments up to 12 months. Some forbearance usage over 60 months occurs in events where the loan's forbearance to date is between 49 and 60 months of usage. Some of these loans could still be granted a 12-month forbearance that would cause their total forbearance months count to exceed 60 months. It is important to realize that hardship forbearance given outside the 60-month policy limit is very small. Only about 1.2% of loans outstanding in the portfolio today have received forbearance longer than the 60-month limit. About 60% of loans with forbearance usage over 60 months have used 61 months of forbearance. About 97% of forbearances given over 60 months extend no more than 1 year past the policy limit. To develop an expectation of future deferment and forbearance usage, the cumulative use to date must be coupled with expectations of the future likelihood to use additional deferment and forbearance. Page 20 shows the likelihood that loans will use additional deferment or forbearance. These statistics are derived based on the Stafford and Consolidation loan populations and their prior deferment and forbearance usage as of June 2010. The loans are tracked through June 2015 to check whether they used additional deferment or forbearance in the intervening 5 years. The upper left-hand table, for example, shows that among all Stafford loans that never used deferment before July of 2010, 40% used some deferment in the next 5 years, and 60% did not use any deferment. The upper right-hand table shows that among all consolidation loans that never used deferment before, 16% used some deferment in the next 5 years, and 84% did not use any deferment. Generally, borrowers who never used deferment or forbearance in the past are less likely to do so in the future compared to borrowers who used some deferment or forbearance previously. Consolidation borrowers who never used deferment or forbearance in the past are less likely to do so in the future compared to Stafford loan borrowers. Also, loans with previous hardship forbearance usage between 49 and 60 months are less likely to use forbearance in the future as they approach the policy limit. Turning to page 21, because forbearance and a meaningful proportion of deferment activity result from economic hardship, it is important to combine expectations of deferment and forbearance usage with an understanding of portfolio default risk. The matrix on page 21 shows average annualized default performance over a 4-year period. The left-hand axis shows the number of years since loans first entered repayment, and the top axis shows the number of years of payments made on the loans. The right-hand diagonal represents default performance for loans that have made the same number of payments as they have spent time since entering repayment. These loans are the lowest risk, with average annualized default rates generally around 30 or 40 basis points per year. Reading down the left side of the matrix gives an average annualized default rate for loans that have never made a payment. The longer the time a borrower has been in repayment without payment demonstration, the higher potential for some loans to default. Reading from left to right on the chart, the more payments a loan has made in any given category of time since repayment began, the lower the risk of the loan. The circled and highlighted areas on page 21 map to the distributions of volume shown on page 22. Each of the three matrices on this page has the same axes as the default rates shown on page 21. The top right-hand matrix shows the distribution of volume by time in repayment and payments made for the loans currently in repayment. This distribution adds to 100% of the repayment status population. The shading reflects that the highest concentrations of repayment loans are found along the diagonal, where the number of payments and the time since entering repayment are similar. In total, 23% of loans in repayment have made the same number of payments as they have months since entering repayment. Only 9% of loans in repayment have made zero payments. The bottom left-hand chart shows the volume distribution for loans in deferment, and the bottom right-hand chart shows the volume distribution of loans in forbearance. In contrast with the repayment portfolio, where 23% of loans had made the same number of payments as they had months since entering repayment, only 1% of the deferment and forbearance portfolios have the same amount of payments and time in repayment. Whereas only 9% of the repayment portfolio has never made a payment, 36 to 37% of the forbearance and deferment portfolios, respectively, have never made a payment. If the default risk distribution from page 21 is overlaid with the distribution of payments and time in repayment by status, the average annualized default rate for the repayment population would be 2.2% per year, compared to 3.7% and 3.8% for the deferment and forbearance populations, respectively. Page 21 showed that this risk increases further with additional portfolio extension.